This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The gospel of the kingdom of God is good news. It is actually the best news you could ever hear. It is a news which should give us great encouragement, hope, trust, and faithfulness, and great anticipation of what the potential of man is. Because the gospel just means good news or glad tidings. It is a message about our future, a message from God to man. And as I will show you today, understanding this message should give us, even in this life, great encouragement when we go through the trials and the problems, wondering sometimes whether we can ever make it. I recently wrote an editorial for our weekly updates, and by the way, if you would like to get a copy of our weekly updates, just write us. We can send them to you via email, and if you don't have any computer, then we can send them to you via hard copy. But in this editorial, I wrote the following. Jesus shocked his audience when he told them about the potential of man. At the same time, he confirmed who he was. "I am the Son of God," he said. "And that should not surprise you because your own law says that you are gods." The Jews viewed this as blasphemy, and they were willing to seize and stone him for saying this. It's no different today. Just tell someone that it is our destiny to become gods, born again members in the kingdom of God, immortal God beings in the family of God, and be prepared for the reaction of outrage, disbelief, open hostility, and persecution. But the biblical teaching is so very clear and convincing, if one has eyes to see. Not only the New Testament teaches this, so does the Old Testament. And the Jews in Jesus' time should have known this. Now let me just stop here and give you a few more indications. We read at the very beginning that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness," pointing out that God is a family consisting of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And they work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we read in the New Testament that God the Father created everything through Jesus Christ. We also read that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, a spokesman, and that spokesman was with God, God the Father, and he was God. He himself was also God, a second member in the God family, and we read that that spokesman became flesh and dwelt among us. There are so many scriptures showing us that God is a family, but they also show us that it is a potential of man to become a full-fledged member, a born-again member of the family of God. When Christ returns, we hear that we are supposed to be like him, because we will see him as he is. And we also know that we have to be changed into spirit beings, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now let me return now to the editorial, and I go on to say in here that in Psalm 82 and verse 6, God tells human beings that they are to become gods. That is a scripture which Christ would later quote in John chapter 10. But in both cases where the word God is used, in the Hebrews the same word is used, Elohim. So Elohim tells man it's your potential to become Elohim, members in the God family. There are other passages in the Old Testament which show this. For instance, God is called the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And later in the book of Revelation, Christ is being called the Lord of lords. Who are the gods? Who are the lords? Human beings who will become gods and lords in the family of God if they qualify. And that will happen, those who are called today, when Jesus Christ returns. We also read in, for instance, Psalm 131 and verse 1, that we will be praising God before the gods, before the other gods, before the other members in the God family, because you see, God the Father will always be on top, followed by Jesus Christ right under him, but we then will be under Christ. And we will be ruling with and under Christ in the millennium, for example, for 1,000 years. On this earth and over this earth. Also in Psalm 82 and verse 1, we read that God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and literally it should say, in the congregation of God, and judges among the gods. That's you and me. If we are converted members of the church, not born again yet, but begotten with the Holy Spirit, with the potential to become born again spirit beings when Christ returns. Now, this is meant to be an introduction to the great message of hope I want to give you, which you can apply in your own life today. I go on in this editorial to say that there are hundreds of additional biblical passages proving that our human potential is to become God. But how often do we remind ourselves of that awesome destiny, especially in times of trials? The Archbishop of Canterbury recently said that there are moments when he questions God's very existence. Now, maybe you haven't done that, maybe you have. But maybe you have questioned why God doesn't intervene in your life. Why is he allowing these kind of trials to go on? Is God really with us? And we might express these doubts in words, or we might express them by the way we act. I say in here, these moments are most certainly not uncommon to man, including the spiritual giants of the Bible. Abraham didn't think that God would be with them in every circumstance. And so he and his wife Sarai agreed to lie continuously about their true relationship, saying that they were brother and sister rather than husband and wife, because Abraham was afraid that he would be killed otherwise. They also doubted that God would be with them that much, that they could bring forth a child given their age. Moses didn't believe at first that God would be really with them in Egypt to deliver Israel from slavery. And when the first attempts seemingly failed, quote-unquote, his original doubts were confirmed in his mind. And you can read that in Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And even though God had promised Jacob that he would be with him wherever he went, Jacob had his doubts. Read for yourself in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15 and then verse 20. God assured Jeremiah that he would deliver him from his troubles, but when things got tough, then Jeremiah began to question how reliable God really was. Jeremiah 15, verses 18 and 19 tells you this. Are we so much different today, I'm asking here? Do we not also have moments when we question whether God is really with us, whether he really knows what we are going through? Of course we do. If you're honest, you know that that is absolutely correct for you, as it is for me. When we do not see how God could possibly work out the impossible, humanly speaking, then we might feel somewhat forsaken, somewhat alone. But you see, God has promised. He has promised to be with us always, never to leave us or forsake us. And there are many scriptures in the Bible. You might just want to look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 to bring this out. He promised us to deliver us from all evil, but he also asked us to pray to him, not to lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He wants us, of course, to have a relationship with him. But we are always on his mind. There is no place where we could go. There is no thought which we could think. There is no word which we could say that God doesn't see or know or hear. And God acts for us in ways which are so much beyond our ability to imagine. Just later on, if you want to, turn to an interesting passage in Psalm 77 and verse 19, where he talks about the way which human beings didn't anticipate, didn't know. But God knows. And his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, and his ways are so much higher than our ways. That is what we need to always remember when we go through trials, when we go through problems, because let us not forget. And I'd like to read to you the last paragraph now from the editorial I wrote. Because moments of doubt will still come. Questions such as, why did God let that happen? Why didn't he intervene? Why didn't he make the impossible possible? We might not get a full answer to all these questions in this life. But we do have the overriding answer. And that is the most important truth we can ever embrace in those moments. God is our Father. We are his children. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. The Father and the Son want to enlarge the God family. They want us to be in their kingdom, in their family. It is our potential, it is your potential to become a God being. A God being in the very family of God. And God will see to it that we will make it in our due time, whatever it may take. As long as we do not forsake him, he will never forsake us. Even if we do not fully understand now, God is there to carry our burdens, to give us strength, and he will always be with you if you let him. With that assurance, all doubts should fade away. With that assurance, you should be able to look beyond the present circumstances, the present difficulties, look beyond the trials you are going through, anticipating a wonderful world tomorrow, a glorious future for you in the kingdom of God. Please ask for our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom of God, which gives you much more information about this very highly misunderstood topic. And if you want to, please ask for our free update, our weekly update, which goes into many of these issues. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.